Hey everybody, welcome back to Torchlit Tavern. Hope your December is going well. Merry Solstice from us. Once again, we're continuing the story that we laid out in our last episode. For our Solstice season, we're playing Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. I am your Dungeon Master, Jameson Oxford. Playing with me today is...
Hey, it's me. I'm back. It's Ryan. And I'm playing Darthaniel Flueblower, the cello-playing centaur bard, who is obviously extremely famous, and if you don't know him, what are you even doing? I'm also playing with... I don't know if I like this, we're playing with people.
I don't... We're working on it, all right?
And I like that Ryan is playing with me. It's nice. It's been so long.
I love it. It came Ryan out of my mouth and me. It felt bad. It felt bad when I said it and I didn't
Ryan
like it.
Ryan playing with me is one of the best parts of D&D.
You know what? It's not often it feels bad out of the mouth, but
it does.
Mitch, the dad on the podcast. And I am here returning to continue my role as
the arbiter of the untimely destruction of all who oppose the great houses of Solstice, bringing unity once again. It is I, House, the gingerbread man-at-arms.
And if that's not enough to turn you away.
And playing with the idea of shooting himself in the face.
You're welcome.
Is Jeff, who is reprising his role as the not as cheery as maybe some would be, Sol Downs, the satyr druid, who's just out here to do it. You know what I'm saying? So can't wait to see where this goes. And as we get into this, let's talk very quickly about something that matters a lot to us, something that's near and dear to our hearts, and that's giving.
Ancient
tradition.
And
what we want to do for the sake of giving for you out there is we want you to get involved in the Torchlit Tavern toy drive. Now, it's very simple. You're going to wonder, what do we do? How do I be a part of this?
We have all those answers for you.
We do.
How do I join this wonderful movement, this Torchlit Tavern toy drive?
It's very simple.
Well, it's very simple. You're going to go out, you're going to get a toy,
yeah,
and you're going to drive it to someone, hopefully in need, hopefully who doesn't have said toy, and I don't care what kind of toy you get.
And I know you're thinking that we said that we would help, and I just want you to know that you're going to buy this toy with your own money. The way we helped was that we gave you the idea. We came up with the Torchlit Tavern toy drive, and we're giving you the impetus and the order to go become a giving being. And I really think that we need that lately in particular. Yeah. All jokes aside, you're going to make somebody very happy, preferably a child, because I am kidding about this, but I'm not kidding about this. I think it's very lovely. That being said, I'm going to go back to kidding now because it makes me more comfortable.
Just makes you a better person. It's fine.
Yeah.
And we get to ride the exposure coattails.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, don't forget to hashtag.
Yeah, don't forget to send us a photo. Really give us credit for the thing that you do.
Yeah, yeah, preferably.
And just spread the word about the Torchlit Tavern.
Share
toy
a picture.
Drive.
Share a picture on your Twitter or on your Facebook, on your Instagram, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Of you with a toy in your car as you go to drive it.
It's important. You do need to be driving. You can do it on a bike. You can drive a bike. You can also drive a tractor or maybe even a go-kart.
Anything.
But
that you
have
drive.
To drive. So if you don't have a vehicle, I personally advise using a pile driver on the recipient to make sure that you meet the minimum requirements. I don't think that's legally advised, but just a
loophole.
If
it's a sturdy toy, you could hit it with a 2-iron. You could just drive it.
That would be a drive.
Yeah. House. That would be a drive. But it must be driven. Yeah. That is our only requirement.
It must be driven.
But it must
be
a toy.
Just go ahead and drive that toy.
Yeah, drive that toy to someone
to who deserves it most. And just to make sure that we really drive it home, you can do this and make this special holiday season better for somebody in your area because you drove them a toy.
Yeah. And if
whatever
there,
that person is,
if there
whatever
is
that toy
question
is.
Of, let's say I already drove a toy this year. Don't hold back. Drive another one. It's okay.
Drive as many toys as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really. Hey. And every time. Just tell us about it.
It can be homemade.
Send us a picture.
It can be store-bought, but it must be new.
Hashtag Torchlit Tavern Toy Drive 2021.
Torchlit Toy Drive.
That's so many T's.
Torchlit Toy Drive.
Because I can't remember that. It's too many letters.
The Torchlit Tavern Toy Drive 2021.
Yes, all of it.
Yes, all of it. Hashtag it. Every time.
Yes.
Please do.
Type it all out, please.
That's three different hashtags. Do
I
all
guess
of
you
them.
Could also
if you don't
just
do
go,
all
hashtag,
of them, you won't see it.
TTTTT.
Give them the gift of ending this.
It's not a joke. Give people toys.
Okay, we've said enough.
All right.
They know.
Anywho's.
And they're going to do it.
Also find us on the social medias, the Twitters, the Facebooks.
Absolutely.
The all right, TikToks, Jay, this time on the Torchlit Toy Drive. I mean, the Torchlit Tavern.
The Torchlit Tavern. Last time on Torchlit Tavern.
A cello that he is holding like a violin, like some kind of asshole or something.
Like in his neck?
Yes. That centaur is Darthaniel Flueblower.
So on the top deck, we find a satyr who's mostly black with little tufts of white here and there. It could be more upbeat, but it's not bad.
Brought up from the lower decks is what you can only assume is the third member of the entourage, who was originally brought in a large wooden rattling crate bound by iron chains.
Spring, summer, autumn, fae, I've come to kill you all today.
And rattles its chains menacingly.
But as you come down into the storm, you are immediately assailed with grit and dirt in your face. You've somehow landed in the midst of a dust storm of some kind rather than a snowstorm, and this is not what you expected. A cloud of dirt, and you see what looks like movement on the sand.
We have an incursion!
There's no way you'll make it in time.
I've seen the movie, Jay. We die.
Your keen ears start to hear the unmistakable noise of cracking nuts. You see all of this as it stops, retreats, and then the furrow of earth just sort of disappears off in the direction of the cracking nut. You should get off the sands. It is not safe. Some person who set out a distress signal that you're supposed to meet up with and get information from. My name is Walter Ohio. You must have gotten my message. He immediately pulls out two daggers and goes,
"Wait.
Bring it on, you breaded ginger bastard." Older looking model sleigh. It is being pulled.
Is it a house gingerbread sleigh?
Yes.
Then I don't open fire.
Walter Ohio puts on the armor and you guys take off, and then you grab onto the bottom like some sort of thermonuclear warhead ready to engage. Roll a survival check.
Got it.
To see if we can find any evidence of snowmen.
18 plus 4.
Shit. That's much better, Darthaniel. 18 plus 4?
Yeah, good shit.
As you fly with this sky high view, you know, you're up in the air, you start to see what looks like weird tracks in the sands that doesn't look like they're from any sort of animal or person. But seeing as it's the only thing you have to go on, you start to follow them. It doesn't take you long to find them because your roll is very good, so it hasn't been 3 hours yet. In answer to Jeff's question, it's been about 2 hours, and you guys find another outcrop.
I am a centaur again.
Okay. As you guys get close to this outcropping, Walter goes, "If we are in snowman territory, we need to take this off." And he starts to remove his costume that he put on. So you're a centaur again, and you guys land. You guys land on an outcropping of rock, and he says, "Will we meet the snowmen? They have different customs." Okay.
Explain. What do you mean, different customs?
Well, the lack of the snow has driven them to be very harsh, so they only value strength. If they find you to be weak, they will kill you, and they will try to use what little bit of coolness your body has in comparison to fuel their chill suit.
Finally, creatures with the appropriate Solstice spirit.
I am a mammal.
Yeah, and it's hot. It's 100 degrees minimum every day.
This place sucks.
The evaporation of your vital fluids can be used to reduce local temperature.
Solstice science. It's really complicated. We're not going to get into it.
Sol, as the mouse hops around for a little bit, listens, then turns back into a person, a satyr, really, and goes,
Yeah, that is concerning, yeah. But what can we do, yeah? Person?
Yeah, 10 plus 7 perception to see where we should go next. Now that we have touched off.
Okay. There's really only one way to go. These like weird sort of canyony outcroppings of rock sort of shoot out of the sand. Every once in a while you've seen them. They just seem to be where the base rock pokes out. And this is another one. So you know it's sort of safe from the worms, and it seems like a good place for people to hang out. As you move around, You realize that also down here in the canyons, it is cooler than just about anywhere else because of the shade. And in this particular canyon, there is just like, it's a nice cool breeze. So much so that your chill suit is actually overdoing it. And as you're moving around, you see a rock tumble down from an outcropping above you, and you glance up, and directly above you is a very strange being. A very round head, followed by another very round body, and capped by what appears to be just another very round ball, all of it encapsulated in a strange leather armor. And across its face is a set of goggles and a mouthpiece. And sitting atop its head is a very good, well-made top hat.
It's and a 15 it jumps to return fire.
It jumps at you and attacks. Everybody roll initiative.
I need to know about its nose.
It's a carrot.
Okay.
It's a carrot. Yeah, it's a carrot.
Fuck.
So
it's,
it,
only,
it
it's only half a carrot, though. Half of it is missing.
9 initiative.
It rolled a nat 1 on its stealth. You were 100% going to be surprise rounded by this guy. And because he screwed up, you guys get a chance.
I pulled in a whopping 2 with my +1.
Works for me. All right. So that's going to be Darthaniel first. As you look, glance up and see this.
Wait, really? Darthaniel goes before Walter, Ohio?
Oh, sorry. I forgot to roll for Walter, Ohio. You're right.
If he gets higher than me, I'm going to be so pissed off.
He got a 20. You're right.
You got... I just fucking just curse under my breath.
Thank you for reminding me, my friend.
This like
you're welcome. I had to remind you.
I wasn't expecting to like feel inadequate to Walter, Ohio for this entire episode, but it is a good dynamic.
Well, so here's the thing. Walter, Ohio, when you look at him, like you've had a lot of time and you realize that he's this weird cross between Sir Patrick Stewart and Jason Momoa. It's really wild. And that's an ubermensch. And what can I say?
I don't even, like, I can't even picture that in my mind's eye, but...
That's fine. It's too beautiful.
That's
your brain would melt.
Too immaculate.
Yeah, your brain would melt.
Good God.
So Sir Patrick Stewart and Jason Momoa have come together to make Walter, Ohio. Ladies, take a moment if you need to. You can pause the show. Walter, Ohio,
Sir
as
Patrick
it jumps
Momoa.
In front of you... Patrick Momoa. Walter, Ohio jumps in front and tackles the snowman as he comes down in front of you. Even though you're ready, he takes him out of the way and knocks him to the side, and they go down into a tumble with Walter, Ohio on top. It is now your turn. That is his whole round as he starts stabbing at this, as he starts pinning the snowman and punching it in the head.
So angry. Like I was about to be all cool.
The last thing Walter says is, "There will be more!"
I am going to hold an action for the next one that decides to jump out at us.
Okay.
Since he's clearly holding that one down, we're good for now.
As you hold your action, from behind you, you hear a weird sliding noise as another snowman slides down the hill and leaps at you. Go ahead and do your action as he comes in.
Yep, I immediately spin around and I take my cello under my chin and I immediately just hit the strings with the bow, and it makes a very large, loud sound, and I cast Eldritch Blast with it.
Okay, go ahead and roll that attack.
That is a 15 plus 5.
15 plus 5, that's a hit.
9. Yeah, so that's 9 damage. So I hit the cello strings with the bow, and you see just the reverberations through the air fly at the guy, and it catches
dope
him in the
fuck.
Chest as it fucking goes, as he comes at me.
All right, dope as fuck. Damage for that is?
9.
All right, so that kind of hits him squarely, and he has set himself up to come down at you, just fucking bottom ball first of his snowman form, just coming down at you with all of the thunder. You kind of set him spinning, but it doesn't put him off balance, and he strikes you with a... Oh, no, you need to roll a dexterity saving throw as he comes pummeling down at you.
Okay.
Roll an attack. I don't roll attack.
Is it 13 plus 6?
That's enough. So your attack sends him off course just enough for you to canter to the side, and he lands heavily next to you. You see like a crater and a slush of snow shoot out of his suit as he hits the ground, and he turns and he comes at you. You can see a piece of his chill suit has been like gashed open, and water is starting to seep out of it.
That looks bad for you.
I've left to see worse.
Oh, sorry. 3 more come running down. From either side of this canyon wall. They come out of cracks and crevices and crannies and other such C words. That's gonna be Sol.
Hey, Cool.
And because it's going to take their whole turn to sort of get to you, basically there is one for each of you at this point, and they are in melee range.
Sure. Okay. So I see one coming at me, and before it gets up to me, I reach into my pouch, I guess, and pull out a...
Yes, your satyr pouch, as established.
Yes, I pull out a braided thorn sort of crown, but like smaller. Maybe a bracelet. Yeah, okay. A braided thorn sort of bracelet. And I pull it up into the air. It unravels into the thorn whip spell, and I whip it one of them.
Okay.
For 16 to hit.
That hits.
Perfect. That then does 7 damage to this creature.
Okay.
And as I hit him with the whip, as the whip comes unfurled, I say, unravel my thorn whip. That felt weird. unravel my thorn whip. That's how it's gonna be.
Okay. All right. So once again, you rip open a section of suit on this thing, and it starts to like gush slush from like its chest cavity as you hit it solidly across the torso.
And I look at it and go, if there were another option, I would take it. But you seem to have left us very few.
Options are limited when you are a snowman in the desert.
Yeah.
It's hard out here for a snowman in the desert.
Yeah. And that makes it House's turn.
So House's top half spins around on his bottom half, and his legs start to walk in the wrong direction towards the nearest snowman.
For the revitalization of Solstice and the glory of House Gingerbread!
I'm assuming a 23 hits.
Oh god, yes. Damn.
And House just drives his candy cane lance into the snowman on his first attack and does 14 damage. Is the snowman still up?
Yes, it is, but damn.
House pulls the lance back and just joyfully,
again!
And does it again. I'm assuming a 24 hits. Yeah. And I rolled a 2 for damage, but fuck that. I took great weapon fighting, so I get to re-roll that, and I rolled a 3. But fuck that. I took piercer, and I get to re-roll that because I don't like it. And I got an 8. But fuck that, because I took savage attacker, and I might get better. And I rolled an 8 again. So he takes another 12 damage. That's a total of 26 damage from House.
Jesus Christ.
And I made a monster.
Fuck. Mitch, hold on. Mitch, did you figure out how to play D&D?
I know, for someone who was complaining a lot about D&D this morning, it sounds like you have figured it out.
Why, because I got to reroll my damage 4 times?
Yeah. It's really working into your wheelhouse.
The fact that you needed to is also very good.
Yes. Okay.
So how's that snowman looking?
Awful. You cut it, because it's a snowman, you fully cut it down the... Like, you stab it, and then you just... put your lance straight up it through the middle, cutting it in half. Half of it just falls apart in a slushy puddle. And the other half, standing with one arm, glances at you with horror. And that makes it...
'Tis the season to be jolly.
As he does that, I'm going to take the opportunity to play something extremely haunting over it on my cello and use Intimidate for the rest of them.
Well, that's not your turn, because it's Walter Ohio.
Okay.
Walter Ohio pummels his into submission and goes and looks up and goes, I think this is a bad way to make friends. As he looks at the one that's in a puddle. Go ahead and do your round.
Friends are just enemies that know better.
Wow.
17 plus 3 intimidation.
Okay.
To get them to fucking stop.
La 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 la.
It is their turn. There's only one of them that did not pass a wisdom check that I just made them do, or a charisma check. They all rolled badly. Except for one who is fighting you, Darthaniel. And as the others sort of back off, one of which at half speed, because he's been literally cut in half, the one stands up and he says, we will not surrender to you. Sorry, I'm gonna need a new voice. I'm doing too much of the same shit.
We need
not surrender to these people. They're not strong enough to kill us.
Oh man.
Can I take an actual action at that?
I'm going to say that because you did a thing that I allowed to sort of quell a lot of the combat, that's your standard, but you do have other thing.
That's fair. Now I'll leave it then.
Okay.
That snowman just made the worst decision of his now to be very short life.
The one that is being beaten on by Walter says, "We should hear them out. We have been bested, Snowgar."
I advise you do what he says, Snowgar.
"I shall smite you till nothing remains."
Yeah, we did not come here to make enemies. We came here to make friends, yeah.
Yeah, we can stop the gingerbread man from destroying you, but really we're just looking for our friends.
Just looking for some assistance. That is all.
"If you wish to find your friends, you will need to show your strength. I do not take orders from the one who has been beaten."
Yeah, okay. Is this Snowgar?
Yes.
Is it my turn yet?
It is your turn.
Fantastic. Does a 14 hit? When Sol goes to attack Snowgar, he throws his hands down and they point in claws. His teeth come to fangs. He rears back and growls with his newly acquired fangs and teeth dripping with some type of viscous fluid. And as he goes to attack...
Stop! What happens is a piercing voice echoes through the canyon, and it's not in a language that any of you, like, understand, like, on a cognitive level, but you know that it means stop. Single word echoing off the canyon. And there is no save. You all stop. As you guys all come to a complete stop, including the snowman, two figures step down. One of which is a thin man dressed in a chill suit, and you can see that his eyes are so blue that they shine forth from his suit, and his skin seems to be a very light bluish white. And next to him is a very fat, kindly looking old lady who continues to speak in a very comforting yet commanding voice. "We are not enemies. We work together. They've come to help us. Can't you feel it?"
"And who are you?"
"Demise and destruction to House Tinsel!"
At this point, if Mr. Frost doesn't come running directly at Mr. Ohio, just hands open like an idiot, I'm going to be very upset.
Walter Ohio and Jack of Frosty see each other, and you see that Walter pops up off the snowman, and they run at each other and give you the most bromosexual hug you've ever seen.
I love it.
Bromantic, bromantic.
Bromantic.
I'm into it.
The ginger bromantics. Jack! Walter!
He fucking said Paul.
Yeah, I did.
Just leave it, Ed. Just don't even
don't
correct
even
it.
Say shit. We all know what this is. Alright, so as these two figures appear, and this sort of awkward stillness comes to this frantic battlefield only a moment before, Snowgar turns and bows to Jack of Frostus and Mrs. Claus, and then you see very quickly that the effect of the command sort of wears off of everybody's face, and you see that after the hug and the bromantical hug that Walter...
They're just rolling around in the sand together.
Yeah, just rolling around. They're rolling around in the sand everywhere Jack touches. It's cold again. As the ground just sort of gets kissed with frost. And then they pop back up because they sense a malice aimed at them coming from the direction of House.
"Death to House Tinsel!"
And Jack says, "Hold, Walter. I have seen many futures, and I know that there is only one way for this to work." And he does a weird...
Does an 18 hit?
Yeah. yes, it does. He jumps, takes your... lance in the lower part of his abdomen, just in a location where it will do as little damage as it can.
Groin.
Jesus.
Okay, so I've already rolled for this to save time because I'm that guy. He was going to take 3 damage, but I didn't like that, and I have piercer, so I re-rolled it and got a 1, but that doesn't matter because I have great weapon, so I get to re-roll that. So I got a 3, which was
possible.
Also bullshit. So I used my savage attacker to roll again, and that levels that first attack out at 9 damage.
Okay, so he... ow. He slides down the lance. It goes through him fully, but he slides all the way down it, and even helps it along to get closer. He takes more damage so that he can reach out, and he puts his hand on your face. And you feel this chilling magic come through you. His eyes glow a brilliant blue-white. And you are shown your past, your future. You are shown the day that you were crafted in the House of Gingerbread, when you came forth from the oven as a newly formed gingerbread construct. And then it flashes forward.
Man, that's been a minute.
To a million versions of your death. And you see also Jack's life and how he was born and how he fought the gingerbread house for years and all of their many, many betrayals, which means so little to you, but you also see how they have used you to commit these betrayals. And normally as a created construct entity, this would never bother you, but you feel something inside you come alive as you become a fully formed consciousness.
House feels terrible about this, namely because that puts him at less than 5 feet of range, and that makes his attack a disadvantage. House rolls a 7 to hit, and as his second lance whiffs by Jack of Frostus, the full measure of what he has said comes bearing to mind, and House pauses.
If you truly wish to save Solstice, you must grow beyond our two homes, our two houses. Solstice is bigger than either of them.
I am the harbinger of frozen malice. Any house who stands against Solstice will be utterly undone. May their bodies turn to ash and drift eternally with the snowdrifts of this happy season.
And House bows freakishly because he's facing half the right direction and half the wrong direction.
I lean over to Sol and I say, I really can't wait until this mission is over.
Yeah, I also cannot wait, yeah.
Between the horrifying gingerbread monster and that pompous asshole over there, I don't know what we're gonna do.
Walter sees that you look at him and he gives you a hearty thumbs up.
I return it. Do I need to roll deception for that?
No.
I have many questions. Most seem to go unanswered.
So Jack starts speaking to you guys and he's like, all right, so basically, we've figured out... Okay, all right, I'm kind of hanging from this dude's lance. If somebody could help
yeah,
me
Yeah, no, I'm going to walk over. I'm going to help slide him slowly off the lance, and then I'll cast Healing Word on him.
he heals from your thing, and he touches you, and he says, "Thank you, Darthaniel. I've always loved your music."
Thank you. Thank you.
As I was saying, I have recently done a tremendous amount of spicy nog. I found... the pool of it. What was left.
Spicy nog is not recommended for consumption by sentient creatures.
Yes, and I have done just an absolute bucketful. A tremendous amount. A huge hogging helping. A Solstice gift-giving season crammed full of jolliness. I just really went to town on this stuff. I snorted it, I inhaled it, I injected it. Oh, dear God, do I love spice. Anyway.
As he's saying all this, I reach down, or I talk over to the satyr again, and I say, I will die for this man.
House raises both candy cane lances.
May the nog flow freely.
Yeah, you might get the opportunity to do that. Yeah, that might be in our future.
Sol, I've seen your coming.
Nice.
All of them.
Wow, Ryan.
And I wanted to thank you as well for arriving, because your skills as a druid will be specifically needed.
Yeah, that's what they told me when I was recruited for this, yeah.
He requires the use of your satyr pocket!
Mm. They didn't understand, because they were not high as balls on spice, like I am.
On what? Nog, on spicy nog.
On spicy nog.
Higher than mistletoe, yes. On the spicy nog.
Yes. Come with me. I need to show you what I have seen, and I also need to make you more powerful so that we can do it together.
Okay, I need you to retake the line and do it in a Willy Wonka way, because Timothy Chalamet is also going to be Willy Wonka.
Oh, God, no. I can't do a Timothy Chalamet, okay? Shyamalama Ding Dong is not in my wheelhouse.
Come with
And we'll dream.
You just need to say it in that cadence, and we're all good.
A world of pure inauguration.
A very merry solstice.
Then
come on, guys, it was right there.
Be high as balls in a desert realm. Seriously, though, do you want to get super high with me right now?
Can we?
Yeah, yes. Actually, I've brought my own things for this usually, but yeah, I'll also partake in yours. Yeah.
Yeah. Typically, I just get high on my music, but this sounds like a great time.
I used to too.
This is much better. Yeah.
I am a very dry and porous composite material, likely capable of absorbing roughly 32 gallons of spicy noggin for fire.
Oh, I'm absolutely getting the gingerbread man high. Let's go. So he takes you deep into the rocks.
And that's it. That's how the world ended
This episode is taking a turn.
Yes. He takes you deep underneath the earth. And underneath you find this pool. This.
How do we get there, Jay?
You just walk. He just takes you through these some caverns.
We don't like take a chimney?
It sort of starts to be like a chimney, yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit like a chimney. As you go deeper and deeper, you realize that some sort of old brickwork actually makes this cave. And then you shoot down into this large cavern where, from the roof, you see dripping this colorful liquid that is spiraling down from the rocks above and then trickling through a tiny fern that grows. And as you look at it, you realize it's mistletoe. And dripping down into this little basin is this semi-luminescent copper milky substance. And he says, this is the only place that the spicy nog gathers anymore.
I'm in it. I'm already inside.
You just splash in it. And I would recommend that you go way slower than that, but you know how to party, dude.
I'm a very large animal.
Yes. It's just big enough for you to splash. It's like 3 inches of nog, and you just canter in it like a happy pony.
I'm just splashing in it.
The house, being a hyper-efficient constructed creature, lays down all of his candy cane lances and spears, which is a considerable number. And he walks forward to the pond and just unfolds himself down into one large flat sheet of gingerbread pieces in the spicy nog.
As you move into the place, Sol, he touches you on your shoulder and he says, Sol, I understand that you have much power over animals and beasts. Normally, the worm is not such a simple creature as a bird or land animal that you might normally be able to have control over. But once you partake of that righteous spice, that nog there, it's gonna really just really open your mind, man, and you're gonna be able to see and do some things.
Yeah, like, I'm uncertain you know this, but I am a fae in the first place, one.
Uh-huh.
So mind kind of open, yeah. A summer fae. We do a lot of partying where I'm from.
Yes. Oh yeah. No. Yeah.
My last name is Dance. Like we
yeah,
party.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no. I kind of thought you guys were cool. That's why I didn't do this you cool thing. I figured it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He takes out a mug from, his fucking belt line that he has no belt. He takes it out of his fucking Seder pouch.
Seder pocket.
His Seder pouch.
His pouch. His pouch.
His fucking Seder pouch. And then he goes, yeah, okay. And he just dips it in and he goes, cheers, I guess.
Yeah.
And he just starts drinking some.
So as you guys all partake of the spicy nog.
I don't know how we haven't done a Hades Seder sack reference yet.
Oh, yes. As you fill your Seder sack with this gnarly fluid, you guys, your brains all sort of kaleidoscope out, like the scene from Doctor Strange. Everything gets slowed down and you start to see your past, present, and future. It goes by so fast that it's really hard to focus on anything. And you don't really feel stronger. You pretty much just feel really high.
I'm playing and it is just the worst it has ever sounded.
But as you guys are going on this trip, you hear Jack's voice infiltrate your like fever dream that you guys are all having.
So I figured out what happened to my father when he was destroyed by enemies of Solstice. They blew him up and he had no host to enter. So he did what he could. He retreated into the land itself. And that land gave form to the only thing that it could figure out to protect the being of Solsmos. It gave birth to the worm.
Wow.
So now that we've partook, we have to go swallow the worm. We have to catch the worm and then use him to go where the spice is gathered, where the Nog is, so that we can use it to bring back winter to Solstice. So now I need you guys to help me ride that worm.
With the wholesale slaughter of all opposition.
Yes, we could probably do that, but first we have to ride the worm.
Okay, yeah, whatever. Drink up, get high, yeah, sure.
I release my head from just the Nog that is everywhere, and I'm just pouring down my face, and I say, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, if this is how you think we'll help you, I was sent here for the purpose of helping you, so this is the best I could do anyway. For that matter, it's not like I have much home to go to, so
let's just go. Whatever this guy wants, let's just do it.
I'm aware of where we are. I'm just saying.
As you say that you're going to help him, he goes, you agreed to this an hour ago. We're outside again. And you guys sort of like blink and you realize that you're standing on top of a dune. So I need you to slow down because you have a resistance just means that it's going to hit you later.
Yeah, I'm waiting for later.
Yeah, please stop.
Yeah, not yet.
Sol continues to drink what's left of his mug.
Yeah, you drain it.
Once his mug is finished, because his mug is a solid piece of wood, he takes a bite out of it.
So yeah, as you are crunching on your tasty mug treat, you realize that you're all standing on a dune, and somehow you've gotten very far away from the crevice that you started in. All of you are standing there. And he's been telling you apparently how to catch a worm for like the last hour. So anyway, we're gonna set the thumpers down and the last thumper, because we've already got the other three going. And we're gonna put one here and we're gonna lure it to the area. And then I'm gonna use my abilities to get on top. And I need you guys to use your various powers to calm it long enough for that to happen. Because once I ride it, we can use it to travel to the center of the Solsmus beneath the earth. And we can set everything right once we get there.
Yeah, you're on quite a wild ride. Yeah, sure, whatever you say. Yeah.
That works for me. I don't know if you knew this, but horses drink 10 to 18 gallons of water a day.
Yeah, I saw that.
I've drank quite a bit of Nog, and we should go before this kicks in. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Now, Mitch, you never have to roll an attack roll as long as you are high, but you are also soggy, and so if you take damage, it will be double damage because you've been sitting in the Nog for a good hour, and you're normally fossilized gingerbread flesh is much softer than it was. Now, Darthaniel,
So House just stands there on the top of the dune with a lance in each of his two sets of hands?
Yes.
Because he did not reassemble correctly.
Now, Darthaniel...
House has six arms now.
Oh, God. Darthaniel...
He stands on two of them.
Any ability you have as a bard has no limits as to what it can target right now. All of your abilities are sort of supercharged on spicy Nog. And that goes for the druid in the group as well. You have the ability to charm or control any animal that you come across. Also... to maybe help summon one.
Cool.
So he kind of turns to you, and now that I have helped you, just absolutely free your minds and fuck you up, and just kind of just get you as high as I can humanly do. Sorry, inhumanly do.
And absolutely trashed.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you now notice is that he's put more water in the cup that's got a bite taken out of it, and he's put Dream Lily in there, which is in and of itself another.
Oh yes, he's crossfading. Look at him go. He's a charmer. He's a damned pro. We should probably send him to a rehab. I think that might be too
parting.
Far.
Yeah, it's what parting. It's what we used to do in Sam.
You know, you don't always need drugs.
Now as they do, I don't know what they do there. I don't like it.
It's perfectly acceptable to not do drugs and party. Like if you don't need them, if you need them, we might need to talk.
Yeah, it's acceptable to not. Yeah, but like my home is a fucking. Like this, like the opposite of what this is for you is exactly like what this is like for you. You know what? Yeah. This is hard to explain, but my home sucks.
Yeah,
House takes a long, steaming, hot drink of sand.
As that happens, you hear in the distance, Darthaniel, the rumble, and you hear the crunching of nuts as several nutcrackers throughout the area have been set off. And he hands you the last nutcracker, and he says, "We need it to come to us, but not straight to us. Can you help with that?"
I can attempt to.
We need it to come from the ground, but we need it to stay above ground for as long as possible.
So are we gonna?
Soul reaches into his backpack.
Are we gonna get the worm high?
No.
Soul reaches into his backpack, and he pulls out his immovable rod. He places it, and then he pulls himself up on it, and he stands on it.
Okay.
He goes, "Yeah, this should be a good place."
I don't really know what your plan is anymore, because I'm really high.
He means
so we should
to
just
run!
And House slaps you on the ass with two of his six hands. House doesn't know if that's what he meant, but House had an idea. House isn't used to that.
I run.
Okay.
You gave a poor creature sentience and got it high in the same hour. That's just cruel.
So, Jack is standing on top of the hill next to Sol as y'all run away. And he turns to you. He's like, "Are you bringing it to you or somewhere else? Sol, what is the plan?" I don't think you guys listened. I don't think you guys got a plan ready.
Yeah, I didn't even have the nutcracker. Do you have another one? I can bring it here.
No, that was the last one. Yeah.
Oh, no, that... you gave it to the...
Darthaniel, who just ran off. Yeah.
He's the one running, yeah. So maybe if you wished to have some version of plan, you would have discussed that with us.
Yeah, well,
instead,
I was for the last
you
hour.
Rambled
Everything
about,
is going
you rambled
according
about
to
what
plan.
It means to capture the worm, but you didn't, like, tell us, "Oh, this is exactly what we will do to capture the worm."
Did you know that I've seen
until
every version of the future
ago?
And there's no version where you don't tell me this?
No, I did not know that you've seen every
version. Yeah, I can't seem to avoid it.
I also feel as though it's uncertain as if you've seen the future, but it's possible.
Definitely seen the future. Yeah, absolutely I have seen the future. There's no way it was just a fever dream caused by way too much spicy nog.
This is a cave.
We're not in a cave anymore.
We're not in a cave? We're not?
You are out
I'm running in circles. I'm running in circles like we're in a cave.
I may have gotten them way too high.
I told you that they weren't ready for this.
Well,
but like you weren't
necessary.
Listening at the time.
I've seen the future. This was necessary. You'll have to trust me.
I'd love to trust you, but there's so many things inside me as
there's something you can do because we're running out of time.
I'm a summer in
prepared for every possible eventuality.
Vomit. Yeah. Even talking to you makes me want to vomit.
The ground starts to shake and erupt because y'all aren't doing anything.
We have summoned it! Yay!
Down the dune a little ways, a nutcracker is going off in the hands of Darthaniel, who's running circles around House. And directly around House.
I also have a wand of enemy detection, so I already had the wand out. I knew it was coming.
Oh, yeah, you didn't need that. I'm sorry to tell you.
I knew it was coming from...
Darthaniel's running in circles holding a nutcracker that's just munching nuts. House is standing in the middle of the circle that he's running. And
stabbing
just
sand.
Stabbing sand and going, "We have summoned it, yay." And your vision is filled with sand, and the ground beneath you shifts and erupts. In the haze of sand, you see white, red... white, red, then white, then red again, as an enormous striped beast rises from beneath the dirt directly in front of you and around you. As it tries to appear where D'Arthaniel was and it just barely misses him and catches you, you guys all need to roll acrobatics to see if you fall over from it shooting out of the ground. And yes, it is striped like a candy cane.
You said roll what? Acrobatics?
Yes. You do not have to, Sol, because you, like you said, are perched atop an immovable rod separate from the ground.
Perfect. Yeah. I thought it was a bit strange.
Yeah, cool. you see that next to you, Jack has just grabbed onto your rod as well as the sand just sort of disappears from underneath you all.
10 plus 3, 13. Where is Mr. Ohio?
Ohio does not seem to be with you on this particular adventure.
Stayed behind with the Nog, huh?
He did.
I'm sorry.
He's a Nog Hog, huh?
I don't think Ohio would let Mr. Frost there out of his sight.
It's possible, but also he's going to take orders from Frost. And as far as you know, Frost didn't tell him to come with.
All right.
He's back there being a fucking Nog Hog.
Without Ohio.
Gasp.
That's a 9 to grapple the worm.
A 9?
I'm sure that's a success. I'm absolutely certain.
It's not. The worm shoots straight up out of the ground and does a perfect little curly Q shape, so it looks exactly like a candy cane in midair before it shifts and then dives back down. So everyone roll initiative.
15.
6.
Okay. What'd you get, Sol?
14.
Okay, so that makes it... So House, even though you messed up your roll, you don't grab onto the worm, but it is your turn first as it sails past you into the air.
House gets knocked over by the miss, but fortunately in his new hellish six-armed form, he just stands up on two different arms and decides that he is going to grab onto this worm again because he feels like he should fight it.
Okay.
And because Mitch doesn't know what else House would do. That's 23.
To just sort of stab into it? What's the plan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, just stab into it. Just I am fighting a worm now.
Go ahead and roll damage. I'm not going to let you do like a second attack because I think the whole point is to stay on with the stabbing, correct?
The way I envision it is I'm making an attack with each arms. And then there's no plan after that.
Okay.
It's two attacks, then realize, oh, I need to hold on now.
Go ahead. Go ahead and roll your second attack as your first attack sinks into its flesh and you are immediately carried into the sky as the worm continues up.
That's a 19 on the second attack.
That's a hit. For reference, this thing is about 30 feet around.
Good. It's a fair fight.
And about 100 feet long.
Fair fight.
Cool. What's your damage?
Oh, does that matter? I wasn't aware that mattered. I wasn't even gonna...
Yes and no.
Here, I'll just use the last damage that I had rolled for. It would have been 21.
Sure. Is that total? 21?
All right. Yeah.
All right, 21. That's going to make it Sol's turn. Sol, what would you like to do? Once again, you're hopped up on spice, so you have an extended list of abilities. Mitch.
Oh, hey, that's right. You said I didn't have to roll to attack. You wanker.
Yeah, you're right. You just hit. I'm also going to say this, that because you're hopped up on spice, I will give you your attack surge every round.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm just going to start rolling for the next one. I'll be right back.
Yeah, go ahead.
You do whatever. I'll be back.
I'm gonna say that your first attempt and then that was you realizing that you can action surge in your own.
Wait, hang on. No, I got this. It's fine. This will be quick because my hands are busy. Is the AC on this thing lower than 11?
It's an 18.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
House tries to headbutt the thing he's holding onto and misses.
Doesn't
twice.
Work. This strangely dry worm. Sol.
So Sol's gonna do what Sol do. And that's he's gonna cast Reduce.
Okay.
Sol's gonna look at the he's gonna go, yeah, the worm is too big. Let's make it smaller.
Okay.
And he's going to reach in his satyr pouch and pull out some dark powder and throw it towards the worm.
Okay. What do I roll?
Come down to size, he says. And you roll a con save, 14.
Okay, that is one of its better things. A 14?
Yeah,
though.
I imagine so, but you made me more powerful.
You
so
did.
I was
yeah,
a shot.
So it's one. It absolutely works. It didn't even roll well. So it only got a 10. And you see that immediately in midair, it shrinks to half its size?
Yes.
All right.
It's halved in all dimensions, and its weight's reduced to 1/8.
Okay. So it goes from being a gargantuan, terrifyingly large peppermint candied worm to half of that size. So, you know, it's now the size of an elephant or something like that. I don't know a comparative size for a very large animal, for a very large long animal. It's that, though. It comes crashing down at you, D'Arthaniel.
Oh, good.
It's coming down from the sky.
This should be more manageable for whatever your purposes are.
Yeah, as it comes flying down at me, I look up and I notice what is finally happening. And, because, you know, I'm very high.
And what's your armor class?
That is 15.
All right. So it doesn't hit you with the full force of its body because it shrank and it threw it off. But it comes down and it clips you across your haunch and goes straight into the ground after you. But you are going to take, what does it do to its damage? Reduce does stuff, right?
Yeah, it takes a d4 off it.
Okay, roll that for me.
Okay. 3.
3? Okay. So yep. It only does 19 damage.
Oh, good.
To you. And you, but the good news is it doesn't get its sort of teeth into you, because you feel that it tries to grab on, and it felt like it was going to try to suck you into the hole. You get half submerged in sand just by being next to it as it burrows its way into the earth, and it disappears.
That sounds as though it's not great for me.
Yes. House, you disappear into the earth with it, unless you let go.
Fuck no.
Okay. Jack, next to Soul, goes, see, that's what I want to do. What he just did, that's what I need to do. That thing, he's stealing my thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're not really prepared for it in the first place.
I'm
it's
very
clear.
Prepared. I brought you guys. Are you not prepared? Because I'm prepared if you're prepared.
See, what you didn't know is House's last name was Ohio.
What I have done here, you see, is I put it in a better place for you to do this, but you seemingly have done nothing.
You were supposed to subdue it, not just make it small. The small is great. It makes it more manageable. You're right. But
yeah,
it now needs to be calmed or at least held still long enough to get
why
a grip
do
on.
You? But you see why I say you're not prepared for this? Because, like, our friend House there, it did not need to be holding still, and he was on it. If this is what you wanted, you know.
But he stabbed it. It's just going to piss it off. Anyway, that's going to be
sure,
D'Arthaniel's
turn. Not like it can bite itself.
D'Arthaniel, you are submerged up to your belly in sand and very hurt. And it's your turn.
I don't, I'm not here for it. I'm going to, fuck.
You are still holding a nutcracker. You realize it's very loud.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw it away from me because I don't want that thing to come at me when it comes out of the ground.
Okay.
Because I am, like you said, half submerged in sand, and I am a horse. So this is going to be a very big problem for me. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I guess I hold an action because I'm a horse submerged in sand. What do I do?
You can get out. You're not, like, buried. You can climb
okay.
out. Okay. It's considerate prone.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't have, like...
You have to use half your movement
leverage
to
get out of sand.
Wait,
like
hang on. Hang on. The centaur is half submerged. This is kind of the centaur wears pants. So, like...
Which direction am I half submerged?
Of the centaur is in the sand, but
yes.
The front half of the centaur is not?
You just look like a dude with his body buried in the sand. That's what you look
now.
Like right now.
This is a first for me. I've never known what it was like on the other side. I'm very high.
Yeah. It's not like what having two legs is like. Speaking as a bipedal individual, it's not the same. Yeah, no, what you're doing but it's different.
So you threw the nutcracker away and you held your action, right?
Yes.
I'm gonna hold my action until I can
see it again.
You see that Jack runs around to take position on the other side of the nutcracker. He just sort of does a quick little dash across the sand, and he pulls out a couple of these, like, spiked, climbing hooks, yes. He pulls out a couple of these spiked climbing hooks and gets into a ready position as well. That's gonna make it House's turn. House, you are underneath the sands. You can feel them shifting past you as you hold on. I need you to roll a strength check to maintain your grip as you are, like, dragged through sand. Give me an athletics check.
Echoes up through the sand because House just rolled a 26 on a nat 20.
Okay, so you hold on. And what do you do, bud?
House continues to anchor himself He misses with his first attack, and then he hits with a second attack and does 7 damage with one of his spears. And now House has 5 of 6 arms pinned into this thing.
Okay.
Like a weird spider saddle.
All right. Is that all you do?
Yeah, all the other attacks were misses. It was a lot of misses.
You don't miss.
Oh, wait, no. I'm sorry. I don't miss. Because I don't miss. My bad. And that was 7 damage because of all the things that I do. And then, sorry, I forgot that I can't miss right now. That was 7 damage, then 8 damage, and that's where it plateaus out because he's out of arms.
Okay, okay.
Oh, and then 2 headbutts, so 8 more damage.
Okay.
23 total.
Okay. Okay.
And House is now spread out.
Like a starfish.
Like a weird starfish, yeah. He's got 2 lances stuck in at the front and 2 spears stuck in at the back and all of his weird freaky arms just holding onto it.
And he can't see anything. There's just sand rushing by you.
Can't see shit, yeah.
Sol, once again, standing atop your immovable rod, you have a nicer view of the battlefield than anyone else. You see that the ground is shifting toward where Darthaniel threw the nutcracker. What do you do?
You know, I don't have... I guess I could just cast Charm on it and see if that works. I don't have a lot of other options.
Okay.
So, fuck it, why not? Let's cast Charm person, because you
while
said...
While it's underground?
He can hold his action and cast it just like you're doing.
Yeah, would be the I'll hold it and cast it as soon as I see it.
Okay.
I am the slave! This way is my reindeer!
While I'm high, does it matter that I have 2 concentration spells going on?
Yes. I'm not going to...
Wait.
We're not
going to
break
on.
Concentration rules.
This may not be a concentration spell.
Charm person shouldn't be.
It's not.
It is not.
Okay.
Turns out. We're good.
Cool. All right. So, it's the worm's turn. You see the nutcracker just disappears into a suction of sand, and from the ground pops the peppermint worm, which looks around, and it doesn't seem to have eyes, but it immediately tracks toward Sol. Because you shrunk it, and it kind of like whips around and tries to get at its own sides, but it can't seem to reach as it tries to get toward you. It's gonna roll an attack with disadvantage to get House and misses. And then with its 50 feet of movement, it charges its soul. It's gonna be right in front of you. The moment it popped up, though, anybody with ready actions can do stuff.
Yep, yep. I am going to cast Nathair's Mischief.
What is this?
Now, Nathair's Mischief, let me tell you, is very interesting because you fill a 20-foot cube you can see within range with fey and draconic magic. Roll on the mischievous surge table to determine the magical effect produced, and roll again at the start of each of your turns until the spell ends. You can move the cube up to 10 feet.
Yo, bro, what are you playing?
So, yes, the effect that I am going to put on this worm's big fucking head as it comes out. Oh, it's a 4. Look at that. Drops of molasses hover in the cube, making it difficult terrain until the start of your next turn.
Okay, so difficult terrain.
Apparently the air that it is going to be flying up into is now just lots of molasses just floating in it.
Okay.
Wow. Is that the new book?
Yeah, what is this from?
The new book is weird. I don't like
it. It's very weird.
Is this from the Dragon Book?
FTOD?
Yeah. Fitzband's Treasury of Dragons. All right. So it's moving through difficult terrain right now.
Yes.
Okay.
It is moving.
It's going to be moving through difficult terrain for the next 50 feet.
Through floating molasses.
So, Sol, it is not catching up to you. The peppermint is now covered in brown sugar. And so,
I would imagine, is our friend
yes.
writing it.
Yes, you are also covered in brown sugar. That's going to make it Sol's turn to do his prepared action. So what is the roll I make for charm person?
Oof, that would be a wisdom, 14.
Ooh, that's a good one. What do I get? 14? He has shit wisdom. You see that it moves through the molasses. It looks like it gets the closest thing you've ever seen to a smile on its face before it shakes its head, tossing molasses everywhere as if it somehow shook off your ability. I rolled an 18, minus 1, but he rolled very well.
Poop.
Poop, indeed. That's going to make it Darthaniel's actual turn, because a held action doesn't change your turn.
Okay, well, I'm gonna move, because, you know, it's moving up through the air, I imagine. So I'm just going to move my cube up 10 feet or so, following it up into the air.
Oh, you can just move it? That's
I can move it up to 10 feet.
Spell. All right.
It could be.
I get to roll again at the start of each of my turns. So now we get to see if it does something different.
Oh,
it changes?
Shit.
And it certainly does. Bouquets of flowers appear all around, and each creature in the cube must succeed on a dexterity saving throw or be blinded until the start of your next turn as flowers spray water in its face.
Oh, it almost definitely has to take that save at disadvantage now that it's still technically covered in... I guess, is it still covered in molasses? Never mind.
I don't think it is. Yeah.
Hard to say.
But that's going to be house as well. It failed. But it has blind sense, so it doesn't seem to affect it.
So I rolled a Mitch.
Of course. Hey,
and
I'm
confident my dex score doesn't matter, but my life is the life of a saddle, and a saddle doesn't need to see shit.
That's true.
Fair.
I'm going to go ahead and say that you're not digging being covered in both nog and water and molasses in rapid, like, not in that order, but in rapid succession. But I do want to say that you and the worm both rolled a 4. And so I just want to go ahead and give a double yay for both
yay!
Of you. Anyway, that makes it Jack's turn. Jack runs forward and tries to run up its back. He gets aboard it and he tries to sink the hooks into its back. He gets one solidly and the other not so much. As it shifts and turns from being attacked by you guys, you see that he's barely holding on. He's just sort of dangling from one side, hook by one hook. You need to get it more under control. Otherwise, it's going to peel us off.
Yeah, I mean, I did try that. If you noticed, it didn't...
Can you do it again?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like once more, I think. Maybe twice. Several times, potentially. Who knows? Hard to say.
He mutters a spell under his breath, and he says, it will have a harder time succeeding this time. And you see this sort of, like, magical energy goes around the worm's head.
Sure, yeah.
And it's House's turn. Zanson,
yeah.
House, you are now out of the sand, but you still can't see.
I don't have to see to bite it. Okay, didn't crit. That's gonna be 16 more damage.
House is so terrifying.
I mean, you gave me action surge every round.
I did, but I just mean in general. Because he goes straight to biting shit real fast.
He's out of hands.
It shouldn't have teeth, dude. Anyway. You were
a gingerbread
man. That makes it Sol's turn.
Hey, quick question. I'm sorry. Yeah. What are the teeth made out of?
Oh, God. Why do you ask these questions that I don't need the answers to?
Obviously, his teeth are made of those little wicked sharp peppermint spikes you get when you've been sucking on, like, the small candy cane too long because you can't really do anything with it.
My original thought was candy corn, but that's not very Christmassy.
It's just row upon row of micro needles of peppermint.
That is horrifying. Okay, thank you.
Scary. Truly, truly scary.
And they rotate in opposing concentric circles like that one fish.
Enough. That's enough. Soul.
Soul cast charm again.
All right. You can go for it again?
Yeah, because that's what he told me to do.
All right. So not only does he get a -4 to that roll, because I rolled as high as I could on the d4, but he also rolled a nat fucking 1 on the save, and you immediately see that as it comes back around, the peppermint worm turns to Soul and then smiles. Its face makes a smile. It's very weird. Its mouth flattens into one thin line, and then it curves up.
Yes, he looks very reminiscent of a sandworm from
Beetlejuice.
Yes. Beetlejuice sandworm.
There's sandworms in Trigun too.
Yep. Sandworms have permeated much of sci-fi culture and other types. All because of this book.
Yes, yep. You can blame, him. Thank you, Frank Herbert. So the worm comes to a stop. He's your friend.
For how long?
Stop in the name of worm.
Okay. And you see Jack gets his feet underneath him. He plants the other hook into his side. And he says, well done, Soul. I knew we could not do it without you. I saw it in the future. And he stands there for a second with his arm outstretched and just stares for like...
I raise my hand with his arm outstretched and I say, I have Charm Person too.
Yeah, but you didn't cast it and I knew it was Soul who would do it.
Yeah, I have like 1,000 other things I could have done.
Yeah, but that was the only one that was going to succeed.
And then
I
cast Summon fae, and another fae appears, and I go, look, I could have brought more people here.
That would have not accomplished anything. Anyway, are you going to get on this worm with me and come to the end of the story?
Yeah, let's go to the... He jumps off his immovable rod, he grabs it out of the air, and he comes over and he jams the immovable rod into the worm and then locks it in place. And he goes, yeah, we'll see how this goes, yeah?
Yeah, Sol, you're insufferable and I love you. Let's do this.
Yeah, I'm going to go and trot myself onto...
And none of us move anywhere because the rod is immovable.
You just feel that the worm starts to go and it just, like...
The worm bottoms out.
The rod can be moved with extreme strength, so it is slowly moving. Because this worm
is gargantuan. Wait, are we still on tiny worm?
Yes, yeah. It is a half-size worm.
House bites the worm.
Hey, so, Mitch did say that House bites the worm. And you know what happens when you hit something that's charmed?
Oh, well, you are on it. You are all on it. As he bites the worm, you see it shake its head and snap out of a charmed person. It tries to move, and it doesn't. Instead, it is going to curl around and try to bite at that House.
Oh, well, it's not moving the part that my removable rod's in. I'll fucking tell you that much. And I look at...
The worm is just having an existential mobility crisis. No,
that's okay. Peppermint worms have a tail stinger. So it hits you with its tail stinger. Has a plus 14 to hit with that in a reach of 10 feet. It hits for 19 piercing damage, and I need you to roll a constitution save.
House.
Who?
House.
I assumed. Sword of the check.
You are a problem.
is this for poison? I have resistance to poison.
Okay. You still will
I don't
take
know what that
damage.
Means, though.
It means you'll take half.
Is it a four? Is it a four? Is it a four?
House doesn't give a shit about your worm. House rolls a nat 20.
That being said, you do take 11 poison damage because you half it twice.
Potato, potato.
As the worm squirms, Sol looks at the people who are on the worm with it, who will be going with it, and then he goes, yeah, so are you prepared? Prepare yourselves. Do hold on tightly. I plan on doing the same, yeah.
I think that all of you can pretty much, well, House is obviously already very entrenched. He is a tick. He is on that worm. You have your ways. You and Jack can both sort of get situated and prepared. I kind of need to know how the centaur is going to hold on.
Yeah.
Ride House.
So that was my next this leg.
I toss you some rope.
I need to get on the worm. I grab the rope and I pull myself on and then... So is it still like... It's still obviously hostile to us, right? Like I am...
Oh yeah, no, it's hostile now. Yet. It wasn't for a moment.
Yeah, I'm going to cast Crown of Madness.
Okay. What does that do?
It's a fucked up charm is what it is.
Yeah, it's...
One humanoid of your choice. It doesn't matter because I'm on that spice. You can see within range. It must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or become charmed for you by the duration, or by you for the duration. While the target is charmed, in this way, a twisted crown of dragged iron appears on its head and madness glows in its eyes. It is a 15 wisdom save.
It failed. It failed that save because all of its... I knew it would be some sort of intelligence or charisma or wisdom, and it's they're bad. So whatever happens, happens. It gives you enough of a time to climb on it and do whatever you need to do. What is it you do to get on board?
I'm going to now...
You got 50 feet of rope to work with now, because I gave...
I'm going
to
scramble.
He's got a charmed worm. He could politely ask it to get lower for
him. Crown of Madness is not that kind of charm.
The charmed target must use its action before moving on each of its turns to make a melee attack against a creature other than itself that you mentally choose. I can make it hit people now. The target can act normally on its turn if you choose no creature or if none are within its reach. Yeah, it's just got to make a wisdom saving throw on after each turn. But yeah, so I have a chill and I get up.
Doesn't it have to hit someone?
Yes.
No, but it can do what it wants if he doesn't tell it to.
Yeah, I can let it just like chill.
Okay.
Yeah, so you climb up and I assume just use the rope to tie yourself down or whatever?
Yep. I'm going to need your assistance on that one. I can't.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll help.
Sol and Jack immediately start tying you down, and then as soon as you're ready, I think that it's going to have one last chance to do a thing. I'll just say it makes another wisdom save to try to stab at House. It fails. It just sort of attacks the ground and everything around.
As soon as everybody's ready, and I go, well, let's begin, huh? And then I undo the immovable rod. And I just stand there because I'm a fucking goat man and I'm ready for this.
Everyone
shit.
Is immediately jerked back like the Millennium Falcon went light speed as he lets the button go, and you all get just jerked by inertia as it flies into the air and then down back into the ground. Sand immediately fills your eyes and mouths very quickly before Jack does a spell which causes a small shield to appear in front of you so you can sort of see as you guys just head down deep into the earth as it tries to escape from you all. You travel for miles and miles and miles, eventually coming out into what appears to be a massive cavern beneath the sand. Cabin? Cavern.
It's Soulsmith. It's a cabin.
It's a cabin.
I'm with it.
It's a massive cavern with a cabin in it. You cross through the barrier, and immediately the worm falls the remaining few feet, landing, and then it starts to dig beneath the rock. You realize that if it starts tunneling into the rock, there's nothing you can do to hold on. As you all sort of let go, Jack quickly cuts the rope that holds...
Untie me, Darth Daniel,
and you guys find yourselves in front of a quaint little cabin beneath the earth. Ringing around the cabin is a river of the spicy Nog that just sort of travels through. Behind the cavern, you see that it's just Nog. But as it crosses the cavern, there is a spigot, like a downspout, that spice is coming out of, and it's going into the water. As the water crosses in front of the cabin, it becomes the coppery, lit-up version of the Nog that you know is the drug.
This is what you were looking for, correct? Yeah? This is your...
My knowledge of the future stopped here.
Yeah, your knowledge of the future stopped the moment that you left the present.
I knew that you would say that, and it's so old, because I've seen it so many times. Please stop.
Yeah.
I hate Jack and Ohio.
I give him... I still have a little bit left of my dream lily. I was like, I go, here, take this. Yeah, enjoys that. Yeah. And then I walk towards the thing.
No thanks. Spice for me only. And he eats it anyway.
House trudges forward slowly with a hand grenade in each of his four available arms.
I go, yeah, so...
Sorry, a bomb, not a hand grenade. I couldn't afford those. They don't have a price.
So you guys move forward, and you cross over a little bridge that goes over the river of Spicy Nog.
Oh, I want it to be well known that I walk towards it boldly, but I'm the last person to cross that bridge. Because this is the antithesis of what he feels he is. Soul feels he is.
Okay.
Being that he's a summer fae.
Yeah. You understand the necessity of this because of balance. But this is right. Not your place.
Mm-mm.
Yes. And as you are, you're the last to go over the bridge. And as you stall, you see Jack reach down and just gets a hat full of Nog and slips it. And then he crosses as well.
For the future. As he walks onto the bridge reluctantly.
Nathaniel, anything?
Nah, I just canter on through. I'm ready to get this all fucking right. Mission over.
House has a couple of bombs in each hand as you guys cross the bridge, followed by Sol, and you guys walk up to the cabin door, and what?
I'm not quite sure why House is so heavily armed, but...
He has six arms.
Get it? Multiple arms. Yes.
I use two of them for walking currently.
That's... You're standing in front of the cabin door. For us, once again, tripping balls on Spicy Nog says, I have never been able to see past this moment.
I shove him aside and I fucking knock on the door. Get out of the way, kid.
He moves out of the way as you push him and you knock. Can we get in here knock, today? The door is wrenched open. And we'll see you next year for Soulsmith Season on Torchlit Tavern to find out what happens next in the Soulsmith Chronicles.
Mein Gott.
Merry Soulsmith.
Wow, God. They're going to hate us for this one.
Oh, yeah. I think it was great.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
No, we did
I hate
that
us for this
and
one.
And the war
we already did that song.
Is so delightful.
We did that song last year.
Shit.
We'll talk about it in a second. In the
what
meantime,
you're running into is Mitch doesn't know, like, any Christmas
songs.
In the
songs. Meantime, don't forget the Torchlit Tavern Toy Drive, and we love you. Have a Merry Soulsmas.
Oh, yeah. Torchlit Tavern Toy Drive.
Remember the rules. Get a toy. Drive it to someone.
Yep. Drive it to someone.
Take it easy, guys.
Oh, hey there, tavern goer. It is I, Ryan. I'm here to tell you that, in case you haven't noticed, we just finished a monstrous campaign. Our first campaign, which means there's gonna be a second, which we are working on currently. But until we can bring you Torchlit Tavern Season 2, Campaign 2, we've got your favorite holiday apps coming at you nice and hot. If these holiday hijinks aren't enough to tide you over until the next campaign, mosey your way on over to twitch.tv/torchlittavern where you'll find Jeff leading a bunch of friends through a little thing that he likes to call Wacko Mundo, and maybe even a few behind-the-scenes things about Campaign 2. You can find that on Wednesdays, like I said, on Twitch. What Wednesday? I don't know off the top of my head, but you know where you can find that information on our socials. That is at Torchlit Tavern on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on all those wonderful things. Even Patreon, if you really like us and want to give us a little money to keep doing what we're doing. And you know where else you can even find us? TorchlitTavern.com. Questions, comments, concerns, send them there. Or to any of the places that I just mentioned. Well, that's all I got for you today, but until next time, gang, smell you later.
Our theme song was written and originally performed by Mason Santos.
All music and sound effects for this episode were brought to you by Epidemic Sound. Check out our referral link to their website in the episode description. Additional sounds in this episode are brought to us by freesound.org.
This episode was edited by Ryan Santos and Jameson Oxford. Thanks again for listening, and don't forget,
Heroes is boring.
Walter, Ohio, is a mighty, mighty foe. With his muscle bod and his chill suit on, and two knives made out of bow. Walter, Ohio, was a bodyguard, they say. He's been on the run since the breaded ones ran the tinsel house away. Oh, there must have been some treason. Perhaps he hadn't been around. But when Santa went missing, the clauses went to ground. Oh, Walter, Ohio has something for you or me. Patrick and Jason mingled hotter than a Kringle. He's such a sight to see. Walter, Ohio, is a happy, sturdy man. With his shiny pate and a steady gait, all that talent in his hands. Walter, Ohio, a bro in every way. While protecting Jack, he just might save you on the way. There must have been a reason, some reason that he's here. Maybe it might be the dungeon master needed the plot to move a little faster. Walter, Ohio, yes, he braves the dunes and storms.
And also worms.
So he said we'll run and we'll have some fun now before we beat that worm. Walter, Ohio, disappeared from this tale. But he waved goodbye, saying, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday.